Glad that you are here. We're going to start here with a word of prayer. Would you bow with me? Dear Father, we're so thankful that we have opportunity to come together and to study. We pray that you help us to take your word and to consider it carefully, and help us to learn the things that you would want us to know so that we can be better prepared as your people to know, to teach, and to be able to stand on faith. We are so grateful for good blessings that you give us every day. We ask and pray that you continue to see to our needs. We're mindful, Father, of so many who are sick of our number, that you will bless each one. We pray that you give them comfort, and give them strength and health, if that's your will. We ask, Father, that you forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. You might turn to Acts chapter 9. And we've worked our way through the conversion of Saul three times in Acts chapter 22 and 26 and chapter 9. And tonight what I'd like us to do is to deal with the period of time following his conversion and before the first missionary journey. Again, that's the purpose of our class, is the missionary journeys of Paul. We're still not there. But there's some things that happen here, interesting things that have happened in concerning his conversion and then the time before the missionary journeys begin that I think is interesting and some things for us to consider. So here's what we know, that in the days following the conversion of Saul, that he was still in Damascus and that he was very busy. But I can only imagine not in the way that he first expected. When he went to Damascus, he expected to be busy, rounding up Christians, disciples of Christ, and gathering together, binding them, and taking them back to Jerusalem. And so, I mean, this was his course. This is what he was going to do. And it appears to be well known that that's why he was coming to Damascus. But here he is in Damascus, having become a Christian, having become a disciple of Christ. And what's he doing? What's going on in Damascus? Well, he's preaching. And try to imagine what the Jews there were thinking. They knew Saul, or at least they knew of his reputation. They knew why he was coming to Damascus. And yet they find him in the synagogues preaching Christ. And try to imagine this. They're trying to get a grasp of this and trying to understand what has happened. Here was this one who was their defender of the Jews, and he is not defending our faith at all, but now he is standing up for those of the way and has committed himself to Christ. And you try to imagine the surprised look on the faces of those Jews as Paul went to the synagogues. The text says in Damascus there were synagogues, plural. Again, we as we said before, I don't know exactly the size of the town, but it was a size of some note. And there were synagogues, plural. And the text says, chapter 9, verse 20, and immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all who heard him were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who call on this name in Jerusalem and came here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is indeed the Christ. So we get a picture in our mind here of these events and what was going on. On our outline, we have some questions. Well, what was Paul preaching? This is an easy one. What's the text tell us? That Jesus is the Son of God. What he had been denying before, he is now saying, he is proving, he's teaching he is the Son of God. And verse 22 would say, and proving that this is indeed the Christ. If anyone could take the old law or take the prophets and prove from that the coming of the Messiah, Paul would be well equipped to do that. And you try to just imagine that. What were people saying about this? What's that? Yeah, this, I mean, here, what's going to happen very soon, you know, is that, well, we got to get rid of him. But at this point, I mean, they are just amazed. You know, isn't this the one who, you know, destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? Isn't this the one? You know, well, in what way was Saul changing at this point? Verse 22. There is. And I think this is an interesting point. You know, no question here about being led by the Holy Spirit or things such as that, but that there's a progression. The Apostle Peter, any question that he was not led by the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, Acts chapter 2? No question. But when you read things about the Apostle Peter as we go through the first 10, 11 chapters of the book of Acts, you compare that to what the Apostle Peter writes about 30 years later in 1 and 2 Peter, do we see a change? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, denying that. And so we're seeing that there's a very marked change here that takes place. And that he is increasing all the more in strength. You know, that there's growth here that's taking place. Well, Les alluded to this already. There's some other changes taking place. I mean, Saul was the persecutor of the church, but now becomes the persecuted. Verse 23. And after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. Well, is it a surprise that Saul has become the persecuted? A surprise to him, maybe? I mean, what would he expect? Really, I mean, he was the persecutor before, and now he becomes one who's a disciple of Christ and preaching the things of Christ. It would almost be expected that he would become the persecuted now. But it is sure a change of events. I mean, as we go through the text and we see the change here that, you know, that takes place. I mean, the tables have turned, and it didn't take too long for the Jews to come after him. It says, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. I guess it's kind of a relative thing. Many days. We're not talking about years have passed. You know, but there are some days here that have passed. And you have to wonder a little bit just what Paul thought about that. Think about the fear of having to leave the city secretly. You know, because those who are in the opposition, which were the ones that he was comrades with, but now the Jews are looking to kill him, watching the gates day and night to see if he was to leave the city. And he has to leave the city by dark. You know, through the wall, through a window or something like that in the wall. You know, in a lot of the old cities like that, the houses were built right into the wall. And in the back of a house, perhaps that of one of the disciples, well, it would almost have to be that of one of the disciples, wouldn't it? The Jews wouldn't have been hiding him. So it would almost have to be one of the disciples' house that had a window in the wall, and they let him out of that, you know, to get out and to escape. And so Saul left Damascus. But where did he go? Well, a quick answer to that is, we keep reading in verse 26, and it says, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Certainly get the impression when you read that he left Damascus and he went to Jerusalem. I wonder how that would work out. I mean, he left Jerusalem with a letter from the chief priest to go to Damascus to persecute the Christians. And so if he left Damascus because of persecution, they want to kill him, and he goes to Jerusalem, how do you suppose that's going to go? I can't see where this is a good plan. Now I have to admit that many times in just reading through this right here, it's easy to make the assumption, okay, so he had to leave Damascus and he went to Jerusalem. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't really think that's what happened. I think there's more to the story than what we see right here in this text. Let's think about this, you know, for a minute or two. You know, when you think about some of Paul's statements, as we've already read, like in Acts chapter 22, Paul is addressing the mob there and trying to convince them that he was as much of a Jew as what they were, and is saying to them in Acts 22 and verse 17, "And it came to pass when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance." And so he's acknowledging to them that he went back to Jerusalem. It doesn't say when, though, does it? Now, sometimes people would think, well, I mean, Acts chapter 9, 26, he says he went to Jerusalem right after Damascus. Does it say that? It doesn't actually say that. And then in chapter 26, where we've already read and studied, in Acts chapter 26, and Paul is making his defense to King Agrippa. And in the process of doing that, chapter 26, verse 20, 19 says, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works suitable to repentance." Are we to infer that he went right from Damascus to Jerusalem? It'd be an easy conclusion to draw from this. I want to tell you again, I don't really think that's what happened. So the first question for us to consider then, as we've already put here, this is what's on your paper. Did Saul go immediately from Damascus to Jerusalem? And we're keeping in mind these texts here that we've read in Acts chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. Acts chapter 22, verses 16 through 18. You know, we've looked at that. Acts chapter 26, verse 20. We've just been there. And we see what conclusion could easily be drawn just by looking at those passages. But again, there's a little more to the story. And there's some other points to think about. Now, here's some of the questions on your outline. How long did Saul stay in Damascus? How much time passed before Saul went up to Jerusalem? Did Saul spend time in another place before going to Jerusalem? What other place would there have been? Do these passages above answer our question or our questions? I'm going to begin with that one. I'm going to say no. That the passages we looked at don't really answer these questions. How long did Saul stay in Damascus? These passages don't answer that question. And how much time passed before Saul went up to Jerusalem? These passages don't answer that question. You know, again, you know, when we, in Acts chapter 9, verse 26, and when Paul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. The quick answer is, well, he went right from Damascus to Jerusalem. I don't think that's the answer. There's more to be considered. Did Paul spend time in another place before going up to Jerusalem? I want to suggest yes. Yeah. Ah. See, so we've got to go outside of the record in Acts. You know, we have to realize that these passages here in Acts, none of these passages specifically says that Paul went straight from Damascus to Jerusalem. It only says, and Saul had come to Jerusalem. You know, that's all that it says. What the Bible does not say regarding, or I say what the book of Acts does not say regarding Paul's journey is very important. Now, here's something else to think about. Why doesn't the book of Acts mention some of the other travels of Saul right after his conversion? I mean, the other accounts, like when we are reading in chapter 22, you know, when Paul is addressing the mob, why doesn't he tell them he went somewhere besides Jerusalem? Particularly if where he went was Arabia to teach the Gentiles, why doesn't he tell them that? Why is that mob trying to kill Paul? To whom? Their accusation to him was, I mean, their concern is that he's gone to the Gentiles. And so why doesn't Paul mention, well, you know, after because he goes kind of through his story here, why doesn't he say to them, you know, and then after Damascus, I went to Arabia to teach the Gentiles. How's that going to go over? That's not so good. He doesn't mention anything about that. There's no need to mention anything about that. I mean, the same thing in chapter 26 when he's here before Agrippa. Again, he doesn't say anything about, you know, going anywhere else, you know. There was no purpose for saying it. In fact, it probably would have got him killed in both places. You know, what other place would there have been? I mean, there was a lot of places that Paul could have traveled to. I say a lot of places, and yet anywhere throughout Palestine where the Christians were at would have been a problem, wouldn't it? I mean, his reputation was well known. You know, and it reached far. And so, the question that I think has already been answered, do these passages here then in Acts, you know, do they answer our question about where did Paul go? No, they don't. Ray's already on to the right course here. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. We need to consider a little bit more. Here we are several years later, where the Apostle Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia. And he's dealing in the writing here with Judaizing teachers, you know, that taught that one had to keep the law of Moses to be saved, and who wished to discredit Paul as an apostle. When we studied Galatians a while back, we realized that a big part of this first chapter in particular is about Paul defending his apostleship, and in this letter as well is trying to teach about the fact that disciples of Christ, those who become Christians, do not have to keep the law to be saved. Let's look at some things that he writes. Chapter 1, verse 24. I'm sorry, verse 11. Chapter 1, verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days, but no other of the apostles did I see except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, "He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy." And they glorified God in me. Do we get some answers from this text? I think so. Not the easiest lesson here. We're having to really think a little bit and consider some things that the apostle says and writes some years later, giving an explanation to us on what happened after his conversion. Where did he go? And what did he do? And so Paul is writing to these churches in Galatia. You know, after his conversion, that he preached among the Gentiles for an extended amount of time before ever meeting with another apostle who were in Jerusalem. In the time of Saul's conversion, who would have been in Jerusalem? The apostles were there. But Saul didn't go there. Now, when you start thinking about this, there's two or three points that become very, very important and powerful as we kind of work this through. And I can understand now why he's saying some of these things to the Gentiles and why he's making some of these points now. Paul did not hurry off to Jerusalem to get instruction and approval from the 12. Why would he be making that point? Why is that important? He received revelation from Christ. It's not as though he went to the apostles and had them lay hands on him, but that he received his revelation as they received theirs. He's trying to make a distinction here, about this. And so in defense of his apostolic credentials, so to speak, you know, Paul mentioned his delay in his journey to Jerusalem for the purpose of emphasis, you know, among other things, you know, that his apostleship was genuine and that, you know, his message and that his authority came from God Almighty and not from the apostles. That's part of what he's saying here in this text in Galatians chapter 1, that he went to preach among the Gentiles. You know, we might remember in the text concerning his conversion in Acts chapter 9, here's what the Lord said to him, "Go your way," he was speaking to Ananias who was to go to him, "Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." Remember, Paul's charge, you know, in part was to go to the Gentiles. And really, that's what he's going to do right off the bat. You know, when we talk about him going to Arabia, I mean, were there Jews there? Well, I'm sure there were. I mean, Jews were in you know, the whole region, but not like in Jerusalem. There would have been a lot more Gentiles in Arabia and in that region there. Again, in Galatians 1, verse 16, as Paul is writing, you know, verse 15, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." Here's his emphasis. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. You know, his apostleship does not have anything to do with the 12 who were in Jerusalem. The Lord had separated him out from them. His authority, his message, his apostleship is by the Lord. But I went to Arabia and then returned to Damascus. Maybe so. Maybe he did, but we wouldn't know that. There's no record of that, you know. I mean, how did that word travel? You know, I wouldn't know. Neil?
How long was
about 3 years. Here's an interesting point. You know, the apostles walked with the Lord for 3 years. And they were tutored in so many ways by Him. Well, we don't have any record of the Lord walking in Damascus. In fact, we would know better than that. He's sitting at the right hand of God at this point. But at what point and how did the Lord receive the Holy Spirit as the 12 did? I mean, Ananias was told that he was to go to Saul, you know, and to baptize him, and that he would receive the Holy Spirit. And Ananias was to lay hands on him. In fact, the scales would fall off, and to preach to him, so to speak, give him the words of God. But you know, there's no record here of him receiving the Holy Spirit in any miraculous way. We don't see anything here about that. Some have said and speculated, well, what happened with Saul when he went back to Damascus and then went to Arabia? When he starts talking in Galatians chapter 1, you know, about his revelation, I make it known to you, brethren, verse 11, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was taught it, but it came to me by the revelation of Jesus Christ. How and when did that happen? When the Holy Spirit came upon the 12 in a miraculous way, we have that recorded in Acts chapter 2. All that I know we would have recorded with regard to Saul receiving the Holy Spirit is in the time when he was in Arabia for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have two. Mm-hmm. And I have thought in past when reading that when Ananias went to him, and you know, that he might receive his sight, was he filled with the Holy Spirit then? The problem with that is he hasn't been baptized yet. Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. Ken?
In the next chapter, when Peter goes to Cornelius, he says while he was still speaking to them, the Holy Spirit fell on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. Yeah, I'm still betwixt in between on this. Was he filled with the Holy Spirit then? Or was it in Arabia? I don't know. You know? But now, when in baptism, there is a receiving of the Holy Spirit, but not in the miraculous way of the apostles, as in a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some things to think about here.
He had not been really studying this the way to Jesus being a disciple. I'm assessing that when he got the Holy Spirit and he immediately began to preach Christ in the synagogue, that he had that miraculous knowledge that you mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13.
And this could be right. I mean, I wouldn't argue against that point, really. You know, I'm just throwing some question there because of the text in Galatians chapter 1. This is just an interesting thought to me. You know, the idea of being in Damascus and being in Arabia and then apparently back to Damascus again did not offer a total safe haven, you know, for Saul. You know, there's, you know, when he says he went to Arabia, you start wondering a little bit, well, where did he go? Arabia is not a city, it's a region with a number of cities in it. And wherever it was he went, I mean, there could have been some problems there too. We know there were problems when he went back to Damascus because a local guard was there looking to seize him. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that gives a little insight on this. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 32, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desiring to apprehend me, and I was let down in a basket through the window in the wall and escaped his hands. Damascus was not a place that was just free from issue or concern. Interesting here too, just take a side trip for a minute. Paul in Arabia. You know, what was this? And you know, he mentions specifically here Aretas the king. And trying to just get our arms around a little bit, where did Paul go? I mean, you know, this is the world map, so to speak, of the Bible lands in the first century. And we add to this the cities and regions important to Paul's early Christian life. Of course, we know about Jerusalem, Damascus. Here's Arabia. Arabia goes way all the way down here. You know, how far did Saul really go and travel during that 3-year period? It doesn't really say. I mean, we really don't know. Try to get a picture of just what was going on in that period of time. You know, he mentions the king, Aretas, who was the Nabatean king. It was a group of people or a culture that they did not fill all of Arabia. It was more of the northern part of Arabia and up to Damascus in this area, this region here. Parts of it, you know, parts of it. Of course, that whole region, you know, was under control of the Babylonian Empire. This is the same region we were talking about Sunday night of Edom. Of course, Edom is no more, as God said it was going to be, no more. And here is a people that a nomadic kind of people that are kind of going through a change during the years of the king Aretas. which is during the period of time of the life of Christ and into the early years of the Apostle Paul. He controlled a territory that went like as far north as Damascus. And the Nabataeans is more or less this area, this region right here. Now, how far did they extend down into Arabia? I don't know, really. And it just says in the text that Paul went to Arabia. How far did he go down into this area? He had 3 years to travel around. How far did he go? I don't know. You know, we know he was in Damascus, and then he left, and he came back to Damascus. Did he travel in and out of Damascus? Was that home for a while? Well, we just really don't know, you know, about that. This map right here has a lot of the trade routes on it. And this is kind of what made the Nabataeans during this period of time, made them a somewhat wealthier group of people. Because this king was very keen on setting up these trade routes, and they actually did a lot of trading with faraway places like Africa and India and China. I thought, China? They were trading with China? And yet, I mean, records that would be found by the Chinese, the envoy to the Chinese emperor of that period of time, records, you know, doing trade with King Aretas and the Nabataeans in that period of time. And so things were changing. I mean, this, as we said, we talked about the kingdom of Edom, that they were a nomadic group and things like that, and they lived in those caves and stuff like that. Well, by this time, they'd become a little more refined than that. You know, they were changing. We saw some pictures the other night just about the area of Petra and, you know, some of the caves and the houses, so to speak, you know, built in that area. This was a prosperous period of time for this kingdom. And, you know, is there a significance to Saul spending 3 years in Damascus and Arabia? And it's like I want to say, yeah, there was. This was a period of time when he was away from many of the Jews. It was a period of time where he was going to the Gentiles. It was a period of time of growth for him before he went to Jerusalem and continued his work going from there. A very interesting period of time. Some final comments, thoughts, questions.
Did he have to be let down into a wall in order to save his life? Because Jesus was already there and already told him that you're going to suffer many things because I don't know. You know, maybe the Holy Spirit is learning to go to certain places and do
to spare his life.
But then again, you know, he left for dead stone several times. Mm-hmm.
Before his time. It's almost like Paul, when the time came for his death, I mean, being in Rome, remember, he appealed to Caesar. Had he not appealed to Caesar, well, he would have been released far sooner. He would have, or I should say, he would have been released, and it would have happened much sooner. But his appeal to Caesar is what took him to Rome, and ultimately what took him to his death. But his time was finished. Right.
The first time that Jews persecuted him, but it was training for what was going to happen over and over again in Germany and places. And the journey started. It was a repeat process everywhere he went. Jews would get after him, stone him. But I didn't realize until reading this that it's here's where it first started.
Yeah, that's right. Coming back to his old friends, and now the real journey is beginning. Jerusalem wasn't his place. That's not where he was going to be doing his teaching. You know, the majority of it, at least. All right. Good comments tonight. I appreciate you speaking up. I appreciate the things you've had to say. A little bit different lesson tonight. A little bit difficult lesson.